same? Beyond? If I beat it, it'll work. All right, I'm going to call the Thousand Economic Development Finance Conference Committee to order. Typically we try to go through the spreadsheet first, and then we will proceed from there. So House has got the gavel. I guess I'll ask the House fiscal staff to... House and Senate fiscal staff up to the witness table, please.
Mr. Mayors.
I don't want any arguments from anybody weeks from now. Morning, gentlemen.
Mr. Chairman and members, I'm Ron Seidenberg with House Fiscal.
Dave Jensen, Senate Fiscal.
Today we'll just walk through the spreadsheet. We'll be working off of this spreadsheet. I think everybody, I just handed out on the Senate side so that we're all working off the same spreadsheet. I'll go through deed, and then if you want to do housing after that, Dave? Okay, well, the spreadsheet's pretty simple. The House is on the left side. The Senate is the next four or six columns. And then the outside two columns are the differences for the biennium. So if you look at it, the first item is the Minnesota Investment Fund, which was a governor's rec. The House is at $10 million each year. In the first biennium at $13,750,000 each year. In the second biennium, the Senate is at the governor's number, which is $30 million for each biennium, $15 million a year. The next one is the biopharmaceutical manufacturing facility. Both the House and the Senate have language to designate money. A total of $5 million for that particular program. The Minnesota Job Creation Fund is another governor's rec. The Senate is at the governor's number of $12,500,000 each year for all 4 years. The House is at $6 million the first year, and then the same as the Senate in the out years are 15, 16, and 17 at $12,500,000 a year. The next one is a redevelopment program. The House puts in a $9,580,000 infusion of money in the first year one time. The Senate also funds the redevelopment fund, but they put it into the base at $1 million a year. So the difference is about $7,500,000 in the first biennium, and the House is $2 million less than the Senate in the second biennium. The next one is a House-Senate position again, the difference being that the House funds the Enterprise Minnesota Small Business Growth Acceleration Program at $375,000 each year. In 14-15 only, the Senate funds the same program at $200,000 a year in 14-15, but in the out year, they have it in the base going forward at the same number. The next one is a House position only. It's the Southern and Southwest Minnesota Initiative Foundation pilot program. It's one time in the House at $200,000 a year in 14-15 with no bait or no tails going forward. The next one is both funded by both the House and the Senate, just different, funded in a different manner. The House funds the Center for Rural Policy and Development at $100,000 a year, one time in 14-15 with no funding beyond those years. Where the Senate funds it, down on line 41, you'll see under the Business Development Competitive Program, which used to be that program, at $100,000 a year ongoing. The last one is a Senate position. In this particular category is a Senate position only. It's the St. Paul Eastside Business Association. It's a one-time funding on the Senate side in FY14 only. The next item is the Minnesota Film and TV Board. The Senate, currently that board, with that board, Explore Minnesota Tourism serves as a fiscal agent. The Senate moves the board over to Deed. And so in doing so, the Upper Minnesota Film Board at $12,000 a year, the House and the Senate both have that. They just have it different places. That's base. The Minnesota operating money for the board, again, the House and Senate fund that at the same level. It's just in different spots at $325 a year. And the next one is the Job Production Fund. The House funds that one time only in FY14, and the Senate provides significantly more money at $500,000 or $5 million a year ongoing. So it's a substantial difference there. Probably the biggest difference in the bills is when we get to the competitive grant programs. Indeed, consistently throughout the bill, the House continues to fund that program, which the governor recommended. There are increases on the House side. Where the Senate disbands the grant program, competitive program, and goes back to the direct appropriations for each of the grantees. The other item of note in this area is that the Senate's approach in going back to the direct is that they funded all of the programs that were funded under the competitive programs, plus those programs which were not successful under the competitive program but had been funded directly in the last year of the direct appropriations. That would be FY12. So that is kind of the differences between the two. You can see the individual amounts that the Senate is looking to go back in a direct appropriation. On the House side, let me go to the House side first. The House increases the overall appropriation for the Business Development Competitive Program by 30% over base. The Senate, like I said, goes to a direct appropriation both on from the General Fund and the Workforce Development Fund, and in at least one instance, the program gets funding from both. But that kind of shows the differences.
Mr. Chairman, let me just say my philosophy on this grant program stuff. I talked about this on the Senate floor a couple of years ago, that I think that we have the election certificates here and that we should be making the decisions on which projects to fund and not give it over to a commissioner and, quite frankly, the governor to make these decisions for us. So that's been my thinking all along, and I just wanted to I thought this appropriate time to say that we should be making the decisions right here in the Senate and the House. So
he likes the Senate position.
Likes the Senate.
Was that what I was doing? Yeah, exactly. Mr. Chairman, I'm very serious about that. That we have the election certificates and we should decide what the best programs are.
Mr. Chairman. In each one of the competitive grant areas, the Senate reduces the amount the department has for administration and monitoring. If you look on line 33, there's $19,000 a year for monitoring. In the current biennium, they were spending $38,000 a year on administration and monitoring. And in each of the four competitive grant areas, that number is reduced. So the department has less money to spend on monitoring.
Of course, Mr. Chairman, that reflects the idea that they will be doing the competitive grants as well. So they still will have the money for the administration and monitoring. They just won't be doing the competitive grant thing. Any other
questions from members? Why don't you proceed?
Moving on to the page 2, line 54, we're starting with the Workforce Development Division, indeed. Here again, the Adult Workforce Development Competitive Programming, the House continues the competitive grant program. The Senate eliminates the competitive grant program and goes back to funding directly these programs or these grantees from what it was. Again, it's the same philosophy. Throughout the workforce development, it's the grantees that receive funding under the competitive grant program and those that did not receive funding under the competitive but were directly funded before that. There are some additional items starting on 67 on the House side. There's a fast track program that's funded at $2.5 million a year, a little bit less in the out years. It's a Senate or a House only. There is the High Tech Association's Science Tech Experience program. I never was in phonics, so I'm not hooked on it. And that is at 507 in the first year and 407 in the second year for $914,000 total. There's a labor market information study. Now, the House and Senate both have this provision. The House has this provision in the General Support Services section of DEED, but the dollar amounts are significantly different. The Senate is at $2 million. The first biennium, $1,945,000. The second biennium, and I think the House is at $500,000 each biennium, so there's significant dollar differences. The next one is a foreign trade healthcare professional grants. Members may remember this. This is funded about 4 or 5 years ago and would be funded one time under the House at $450,000. And the next one is the Autism Spectrum Disorder Pilot Program project, and that's at $68,000 out of the general fund. Looking at the youth workforce development competitive program, again on the House side, it's increased by 20% coming from the general fund over base. Likewise, the adult program was increased by the same amount. There again, you see the major differences reflecting the approach, the differences in approach, and that's why all the differences on the right-hand column exist. It's just the difference in approach. Many of these programs were funded under both the direct and the competitive in the second year, so they're common. Moving to page 3, you'll see the totals for the workforce development. Under general support services, the House throughout the major agencies has an agency-based adjustment, which is a general fund appropriation. It is the equivalent of 1% of compensation, general fund compensation throughout the agency. So you'll see this change item consistently on the House side. There's no like item on the Senate side. The House has an annual cost of living study that's funded at $150,000 each year ongoing. And now this is that labor market information study that I mentioned earlier that is on both the House and the Senate. The dollar amounts appropriated are significantly different. The trade office, the first three items are all governor's recs. The Senate is at the governor rec on all three. The House has one difference. That's on line 134, the state trade and export promotion grants called STEP grants. There's a one-time funding of $30,000 in the first year on the House side to promote trade and cultural exchange with East African nations. Likewise, a trade policy advisory group is shown on the House side. I think the Senate has language for this, no money. The House has $50,000 each year for that particular item. On the VOC rehab, everything is at base within that program, with the exception on the Senate side, they have the employment support services for people with extended employment for persons with mental illness at $500,000 a year increase. I think the base is $1,555,000 for that. And on the House side, there's a $25,000 out of the Workforce Development Fund, the only House Workforce Development Fund funding over and above the base for some grants with emphasis on youth and people recently diagnosed with mental illness. The state services for the blind is at base on both. Moving to page four, the unemployment insurance. This is a house-only position. I think it's been since, what, Dave, 2002 that we transferred money from the UI contingent account. The house transfers $750,000 each year. That money would otherwise go to UI admin. Or $7,500,000 each year, so $15 million, and that's ongoing, and that becomes revenue in the sheet, and that's kind of the total for deed. As you can see, the difference is the house. If you look over on the right hand side, the house is $7,561,000 less than the Senate in 2014-15 in the general fund, $10,400,000 less than the Senate in the work in the out biennium 16-17, and with the workforce development fund, the House is $5,540,000 less than the Senate in the 14-15, and $5,040,000 less than 16-17, and the totals are reflected there. And that finishes up deed.
Sure went through different ways, didn't it?
Where's our advice? Mr. Chairman, should we go on to Housing Finance Agency?
I don't see why not. Yes, please.
Mr. Chairman, members, on line 194 is an initiative that came from the governor's office to provide housing in kind of more rural areas where there's jobs but there's no housing. So the Senate has $15 million for that purpose, to help subsidize housing in the rural, more rural areas, although it is a statewide program. On line 302, the rental assistance for highly mobile students, the idea there is to keep students in the school system, at least for the school year. There's $3 million for that. A reentry assistance initiative, that's basically folks coming out of the correctional institutions and helping them become stable in the neighborhoods by providing rental assistance. And the high-risk adults housing was a demonstration program. It's being kind of renewed. It originated in the 2008 session. There's $500,000 for that. The Senate had additional money, so on line 211, there's a program increase for the Bridges program, which is rental assistance for mentally ill folks. Mr. Chairman, on the next page, it's a program increase on line 218. The House has about $1.1 million. The Senate has about $1.3 million, about $4 million for that family homeless prevention assistance program. Home ownership assistance fund, the House has $95,000 increase. The Senate did not increase that program. Affordable Rental Investment Fund on line 230. The Senate has a program increase of $2 million and also transfers $500,000 of capacity building to the capacity building grant program. It's a one-time program. It's not continued in the base. And then both House and the Senate, and as a governor's rec, to reallocate rental and owner-occupied programs. And that goes into the owner-occupied and then the rental rehab programs. Line 241, there's a program increase for the rehabilitation program. House has $1,064,000. And then the Senate reallocated from the Affordable Rental Investment Fund $646,000. And for the owner-occupied housing, there's an increase there from the reallocation. Both House and the Senate have close to the same numbers, $44,000 difference. We have program, there's a reallocation or a cancellation from the 2012 flood bill, $3 million, and the Senate spends that in the rehabilitation program. Homeownership counseling and training on line 262 is a program increase of $116,000 on the House side. Mr. Chairman, on the next page, capacity building grants. House has an increase of $234,000 on line 272. Senate doesn't increase that directly, but it does make that one transfer in of $250,000 for the next biennium. Grants, the House had some change items or the open access connection of $140,000 for the biennium, the home line, and then also an East African Women in Minnesota program of $350,000. The House proposal is to transfer money to the Health and Human Services Department. It is over in the Health and Human Service Finance Conference Committee. You can see starting on line 287 down to 293, there are several grants and programs that money is transferred from this conference committee over to the Health and Human Services. Mr. Chairman, that's the kind of a summary of the Housing Finance Agency, and you can see on line 298 over on the right-hand side, the Senate had more money to spend than the Senate did. About $19 million.
Are there any questions for the fiscal staff at this point? Otherwise, I'll just have them continue on through the labor and industry piece.
Mr. Chair, just a couple of notes on housing. Of course, the reason for some of that differential is because of the transfer of $8.3 million, so the actual difference would be about $11 million. And the other item is the House has ongoing funding for Minnesota Housing Finance programs where they would also have increases in the out years, and the Senate's increases are one time, and that'll be something that the committee will have to deal with which way to go. The next one is the Department of Labor and Industry on page six. I'll just go to the change items on page seven under labor standards and apprenticeship program. The first item is a child labor safety and investigation. That's a governor's item. Both the House and the Senate fund that at the governor's level. The next one is we're carrying the appropriation for the minimum wage inflator implementation. That appropriation is a contingent appropriation on the House side that says that if a bill is passed that has a minimum wage inflation adjustment, that this appropriation is effective in the year that first becomes effective. So that's a contingency appropriation. The next one is a job-based education and apprenticeship program. It's a one-time pilot for $987,000, one-time in the first year. And the last item is the agency-based adjustment I spoke previously about. All the rest of the items are common to both bills in labor and industry. Those are the only differences. And you can see the totals. The House is about $1 million, $1.1 million over the Senate in the first year. And reflecting the fact that some of that is one time, it's $164,000 in the second biennium. I'll do it. Do you want me to do Explore Minnesota Tourism real quick? Explore Minnesota Tourism is on page 8. The first one is expanded tourism marketing. The House is at $5.3 million a year ongoing. The Senate is at $7.4 million each year in the first biennium, at $7.5 million each year in the second biennium. That is at the governor's rec. The governor's rec was $7.5. The other next two items are the items I talked about, which is just the switch as to who would be the fiscal agent for the film board. The House has that in the continues to have that in Explore Minnesota Tourism. The Senate moves it. And I believe a big impetus for doing that was because of the Fillmore Job Fund being in the Indeed. The next one is a Northern Lights International Music Festival, only on a Senate provision, and that's at $100,000 a year ongoing. And the last one is the House's agency base adjustment, which I explained earlier.
Mr. Chairman, the Senate does not make any base adjustments as the House did on that line 369. You will not see base adjustments for the agency's operating budget on the Senate side.
I'll go through the Bureau of Mediation Services, then turn it over to Dave. Bureau of Mediation Services, supplemental staff, both the House and the Senate. That's a governor's rec, and both the House and Senate did that. Case management, case and document management systems, that's another governor's rec. Both the House and the Senate have that provision at the same levels. The Office of Collaboration and Dispute Resolution is a House only. At about $500,000 each year ongoing, for the biennium ongoing, and the next one is the base adjustment, which we talked about.
Mr. Chairman, on line 410 is the Board of Accountancy. And these boards generate their own revenue and pay for the amount that's appropriated to them. There's two changes, the Board of Operations, the House and the Senate increase at the same amount, and then the House has that board base adjustment of $9,000 for the next biennium. The Board of Architectural is just the base adjustment again of $13,000 on line 427. Page 9 is the cosmetologist examiners. The board operation increase is the same. And the House again does a board base adjustment. And the Senate has a small adjustment for continuing education requirements. Board of Barbers examiners is similar, except the House has a board base adjustment. Workers' Comp Board of Appeals, that's paid from the Workers' Compensation Special Fund. And they have the same increases. Iron Range Resources, we just show that as a information item. There's no appropriation in these numbers. The Minnesota Science and Technology, the governor's rec was to eliminate the authority, so the House and the Senate have accepted that recommendation. On page 10 is the Department of Commerce for the agency investment. The increase there would be the same of $180,000 for the biennium. Petroleum Tank Compensation Board, the numbers are the same, and that is a direct appropriation from the Petroleum Fund. Administrative Services, the House and the Senate both have the agency investments. The House has an increase in the unclaimed property compliance area. Substantial increase in the second biennium, both the House and the Senate. And again, the House is making a agency base adjustment. And there is a statutory appropriation for the weights and measures, which needs new equipment there of $552,000. And that's a similar number in both the House and the Senate. The telecommunications, the broadband development office is the same both in the House and the Senate, although the numbers are slightly different in the first biennium. And then there's some transfers from the telecommunications access base, same amount, and the change items are to DHS, the Commission on Deaf, Blind, and Hard of Hearing. The numbers are the same. The Office of Enterprise Technology is the same numbers for a transfer. And to the Legislative Coordinating Commission on line 538, the captioning number is the same. excuse me, it's Senate has a slightly less amount. Mr. Chairman, on page 11 is the enforcement and market assurance. The House has increased on line 547, the bullion coin dealers regulation. They're establishing that $1.3 million for the next biennium. And again, there is an agency investment by the House and Senate. On line 560 is the base for the energy resources. It's the same number there. The weatherization assistance program, the Senate has a $2 million increase in that program from the general fund. And the agency investment is the same. And then there's some statutory appropriations change items that will come automatically if you approve the language in the bill. You can see $7,500,000, $100,000, $100,160,000. And that's on the Senate side. For insurance division, the base numbers are the same. The agency investment is the same. And the Department of Commerce total, you can see, is just about the same for the next biennium, $372,000 difference.
Mr. Chairman, moving to page 12.
Well, just a moment. Maybe since how the person is here, we should probably talk about that Minnesota Solar. We could kind of make that decision right now.
Go ahead.
I just saw a couple beads of sweat fall off people.
Mr. Chairman, moving on to the Public Utilities Commission, the only change there is the House has the base adjustment. Excuse me, that's been consistent. Looking at the bill totals on page 12, you can see the differences in the general fund is about $28 million in the first biennium. The Senate is over the House in the second. In the out biennium, actually the House, it reverses, the House is over the Senate. We talked about the Workforce Development Fund. That's all related to the deed differences. The rest are the same for the Remediation Fund, the Workers' Compensation Special Fund, and for the Petroleum Tank Fund. They're the same. The differences in total for the total direct appropriations is $33,732,000. A lot of that is being driven, or a portion of that is being driven by that transfer, that $8.3 million. So it looks more significant than it actually is. Looking at the general fund appropriations, specifically at the general fund appropriations, you'll see the direct, which is from above.
Took it out. I couldn't do anything.
And then you'll see the House has a cancellation of $7 million from deed from the 2012 flood bill for the Minnesota Investment Fund. That program was originally funded at $15 million. They've spent about $4.5 million, leaving $10.5 million. And if it's reduced by $7 million, it would continue to have about $3.5 million in the fund going forward. The next one is the open Region 3 occupation tax and open appropriation of $9.12 million. Everyone's the same. The next is the general fund revenues. You can just look at the differences between the revenues. In total, the House has $28 million worth of general fund revenue in the first biennium, 32 in the second. The Senate is at 12 and at 6 in the second. And because of those differences, the net general fund impacts of the respective bills are significant. In the House, it's about $50 million. A portion of that, of course, is due to the revenue, and a portion is different due to the spending. And so that's that. And finally, we just have the non-general fund revenues. Again, you can see the differences between the two. The Senate is quite a bit higher. The House is actually negative. The Senate is quite a bit higher, and that's reflecting the Made in Minnesota solar energy production incentive, a large part of that difference is that. And finally, this bill is unique in that we have several non-state funds. The biggest one is the last item on 677. This is the employer uninsurance tax reduction. The House and the Senate are both at about $346 million reduction over the next 3 years. They both have the unemployment policy revenues, and then the others reflect the Made in Minnesota solar, which would be funded initially out of the SIP program of the various utilities, 5% of their annual SIP expenditures, and then anything needed to get, once you've deducted for that or accounted for that program, anything needed to get to $15 million would come from Xcel's Renewable Development Fund, and that's estimated to be about $5.9 million a year starting in 15. And that's it.
Any questions for the testifiers? Senator Metz.
I think I know the answer. House in many areas has a direct appropriation for the base to deal with salaries.
Yeah. Well, I think it's in part to deal with salaries. I think it's just a base adjustment, general base adjustment for each of the agencies. It totals about $1.5 million over the biennium. If you take them all together, all the respective agencies, and add them together.
Any other questions for the testifiers? Seeing none. Well, thank you. Thank you. I have about 15 more minutes. We can go over some of the language at this time, or
it's up to you, Mr. Chairman. Stay here for 15 more. So
I think whatever the language is probably where the start is at.
Yeah. Why don't we go over the language? We'll start with section.
How do we get one of the? Give us $23 million.
Is that what the 1% is?
Here, would you like a pencil, Senator Matthew?
They got little holders and everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Which one of staff would like to do the side-by-side?
Carl and I will.
Okay, you guys would like to, Ms. Newman, would you like to start? Or?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Anita Newman from House Research.
Carlin Doyle Fontaine, Senate Counsel.
And we'll start with Article 2 of the House language, which begins on page R2. Section 1 is from the Dolley Housekeeping Bill, and it just updates a couple of outdated statutory references. And as we go through this article and the next article, you will see a lot of House language, and it would look like there's not Senate language, the difference being that the Senate has much of the same language in different bills. So those bills have
Ms.
been
Newman,
noted.
Could you someone was listening in my ear. Which line, page and line are we at?
We're on Article 2, which is labor and industry.
Well, Mr. Chair, members, Article 1 was kind of what they went through in the spreadsheet, and a lot of what the differences are in Article 1 would be about the competitive grants, whether or not, you know, that's mostly what's in there, and it's mostly stylistic, the differences on the sides. There are a few things that are different about the Minnesota Investment Fund with the biopharmaceutical manufacturing facilities, some language that the deed prefers, and we can go through some of that, or...
Mr. Chairman, I've always wondered what stylistic differences mean.
Well, I suppose we could find out right about now. Why don't we go through the...
We can go where they are right
we'll,
now.
We'll need, go with we, where you, we need where go you back, started.
Go back.
The Article 2, R2, page R2 and through...
Mr. Chair, on page R3, section 2 brings the employee misrepresentation statute under the Commissioner of Labor and Industry compliance order responsibilities.
Mr. Chair, members, then on the bottom of page R3 on the Senate side, we have a provision that was added on the Senate floor. This is the, I think we've seen this before, the single family dwelling fire sprinklers that would prohibit the state building code, state fire code, or political subdivision from requiring the installation of fire sprinklers, fire sprinkler components, et cetera. So that was on the Senate side only. And then starting on page R4, there are a number of sections. There's the new elevator licensing structure that the elevator people wanted, Senator Tomasoni, elevator people.
You don't have to remind us.
The first section is just one of the first sections of a number. And should I go through? So that is section 2, and then starting on, if you go to page R7, there are a number of definitions that also go with this new elevator licensing structure on section 10 on the House side, section 3, and then R7, R8, R9, R10, R11, 12, 13. These are all the new definitions and licensing structure, R14. And R15, there is one small change that the Senate received on lines 141.35 and 36, just some clarifying language that the bill proponents requested. So I think the Senate language was what was preferred. So R15, and then through R16, down to about halfway through the page, that continues on the new licensing, elevator licensing structure. And then, let's see, there's some more language on R19 from this licensing structure, R20, R21, and then there was another change that the Senate picked up on line 147.33 and 34. So that would be the preferable language on those lines. So R21 and down to R22 to section 31 and 23. Those are the elevator licensing structure provisions. And they're virtually the same except for just a couple of differences. So now we can go back to I think there were some House-only provisions.
Mr. Chair and members, if we go back to page R4.
Yeah, you never made it past there.
Section 4 of the House, if you recall, the combative sports has been brought into the Department of Labor and Industry. So Section 4 brings Chapter 341, which is combative sports, under the purview of the Commissioner of Labor and Industry. Page R5, Section 5 is a House only. This, for the purposes of Commissioner's orders, this ties any violations of a commissioner's final or consent order to the commissioner's authority to act adversely on licenses, registrations, permits, and that sort of thing. Page R6, Section 6 doubles the amount of time for the payment of license. Section 7 brings in the use of buildings.
One moment here. Now, from page R4, section 4, where we're bringing the board of combative sports all the way through to page R6, section 6, that's all the combative sports, correct?
No, Mr. Chair, it hops around a little bit. Section 4 is combative sports.
Right.
Section 5 on R5 goes back to the commissioner's orders and the things the commissioner can base a denial of a license or a permit on. So that's Section 5 of the House.
And that concerns building codes, correct? Or is that with the
Mr. Chair, sports. No, that's building codes.
And then
on page R6, section 6, that's where the time for paying for fees is doubled from 90 days. This is for licenses from 90 days to 180 days. R6, section 7 and 8. 7 adds the use or clarifies it's the use of buildings and structures are part of the building code.
Which licenses?
Mr. Chairman, all the licenses under 326B.093.
Which are?
Residential contractors. Is that the contractors? Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I think that's the building, the contractor's license. This was in the Dolly housekeeping bill, Mr. Chair.
Is there someone from Dolly who can say what these licenses are, which licenses these are?
Chairman.
Good morning.
Good morning. Chairman, members, my name is Jessica Lumen. I'm the Assistant Commissioner at the Department of Labor and Industry and oversee the Construction Codes and Licensing Division, of which this is a portion of our policy cleanup bill. This provision specifically refers to personal licenses, so the individual licenses for plumbers, electricians, high-pressure pipe fitters, those individuals who must take an exam in order to get their license through the Department of Labor and Industry. After they've taken their exam, there was a 90-day period in which they would then have to apply for and purchase their license after they'd successfully completed their exam. We wanted to expand that to 180 days in the event that somebody wasn't ready in that first 90 days to go ahead and start their career in that trade to give them a little bit more time.
Thank you. Members, I have a bill up in in over the state office building. So I think it's going to be time to stop at this particular moment. I'm going to recess the call of the chair at this particular point. I won't adjourn. We may be able to get back yet today to continue doing some of this, but
One question. Can we adjourn through email? Because he may have to. I'm just wondering. Anybody know that? Maybe that's not a good idea.
You know, the committee doesn't have to all be here to adjourn.
No. Okay.
So. So, members, we're going to recess to the caller chair. If we need to, we can get a senator and a House member together, and we'll adjourn.
It'll work. Okay.
So hopefully we can get back and get some of this moving. We're in recess at the present time.